show success.
AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, brought to you in proud partnership with GorillaMedia.co.nz. We've got a very special guest coming up after the first segment here. His name's Rick Simpson, guy who figured out that you can cure cancer with high THC hemp oil, and he's been having some interesting stories to tell, I can assure you. Speaking of industry stories, interesting stories, sorry, the 1 million march in Egypt turned into a 4 million march in Egypt. Yep. Around 4 million Egyptians have taken to the streets across the country to pressure Hosni Mubarak and his government to step down. Some 2 million Egyptians have massed in the capital, Cairo, alone for the biggest anti-government protest in Egypt's recent history. Egypt, of course, being a big buddy-buddy of the US and Israel. And Israel, incidentally, is now sending troops in to help Mr. Mubarak, and Mr. Big Barack, Barack H. O'Barry, has also expressed his concern for his own US citizens that are stuck in the sand of the pyramids. Now, also, other interesting news, International Medical Council on Vaccination refutes vaccine propaganda with myth-busting report. Today, the International Medical Council on Vaccination has released, exclusively through Natural News, a groundbreaking document containing the signatures of over 80 family physicians, brain surgeons, and professors of pathology, chemistry, and immunity, all of which have signed onto a document stating, on the record, that vaccines pose a significant threat to the health of children, and that there is no real science backing the vaccine mythology, which claims that vaccines are somehow good for children. Anybody who doesn't have a vaccinated child, you realise that they're not allergic to anything. And well, I'm generalising here. But in general, much, much healthier. And of course, the government would never commission any description of study, wide-ranging, that would have a look and compare vaccinated children to the unvaccinated. Would they? Because then the whole thing would be blown right open, and nobody would ever get vaccines ever again. So then we'd have, like, virtually no autism, like they have in the Amish society. Not suggesting we all live with just wagons and whatnot, but point of fact, if you're going to inject mercury into your bloodstream and weaken your immune system, as vaccines do, it's not healthy. I would have thought that was pretty freaking obvious, but conveniently, the vaccine manufacturers have very, very well-financed scum to push their public relations on everybody and say, oh, we need to vaccinate the at-risk youth, who are mostly black. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Coming up after the break, Rick Simpson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Proudly brought to you in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. Welcome back to the lighter side of genocide. Our very special guest is Rick Simpson, coming at us all the way live from Bulgaria. Interestingly enough, Rick, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, folks, Vinny. Sounds kind of strange when you hear coming from Bulgaria, but in the last 15 months, I've been in so many countries, I can't keep count of them. That's what it is to be an exile.
Oh, you're a globetrotter, mate. And now, I would like to just kind of, if you could do so, explain your story, because you released a documentary entitled Run From the Cure. It looked like it was made in a somewhat of a shoestring budget, where you made basically high-potency THC hemp oil and basically curing everybody from cancer to depression and whatnot. Why did you start doing that?
Well, back in 1997, I suffered a severe head injury at work. And, of course, you know, I worked in a hospital, and they put me on this, you know, all the chemicals and well, after about 5 years, I was a chemical zombie. I couldn't think straight. Everything they gave me just made me worse and worse. But I heard a report, you know, years ago, you know, on the radio, about my cousin had died in 72 from cancer at 25 years old. I watched him go from 200 pounds down to 50 pounds. It was horrifying. But I heard a report around 1974 or 75. And, of course, the announcer, you know, when the announcer was making it, you know, he was laughing like a fool. But, you know, this report, this, you know, just in, THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, has been found to kill cancer. So, you know, it lodged in my brain. But after I was injured in 97, I started taking all the chemicals. I guess it was about a year after I was injured that I watched an episode of David Suzuki, Nature of Things, called Reefer Madness 2. And it showed all these people, you know, smoking hemp, and it was helping their medical conditions. Well, I had smoked hemp in the past, but I never looked at it like medicine. And so I went out and got some hemp. Sure enough, when I smoked it, it was better than anything the doctors gave me. So I went out and, you know, I asked all the doctors for prescriptions. And, of course, no. Bad for the lungs. It's still under study. You know, what a bunch of nonsense. But I didn't know any better. So I trusted them and continued with the poisons. But I knew the hemp helped me. So I was getting pretty desperate, I guess, around 1999, 2000, and I knew that they weren't doing anything. I was just getting worse and worse. So I went out and I made just high-grade oil. And then in 2001, well, I didn't begin to take it immediately. I was scared to death of this stuff. I didn't know anything about it. But I just looked at it as, well, it's something I could fall back on, you know. And, if smoking the hemp helped you, well, then this oil should, you know, my problem was, see, I have ringing in the head 24 hours a day, and I can't sleep. So with the oil, I mean, this stuff will knock an elephant down. But, but I was very afraid of it in the beginning. So in 2001, they cut me loose. They said, you know, we've given you all the pills we can give you. You know, you're on your own. You know, again, I asked for a prescription. No, can't have it. You know, and, I worked for the system for 32 years. I got injured, and, you know, this is what they do for me. And then by not giving me a prescription, that made me an instant criminal. I mean, I had no criminal, I'd never had a drug charge in my life or anything. So, I mean, I just didn't know what to make of it all. But I went home and I started taking this oil, and it really detoxed my body. I lost quite a bit of weight, it brought me back to a healthy weight. My thinking process was cleared up. And then about a year later, I went to my doctor. I had these three areas on my body. And, we get these things, and we don't want to admit it to ourselves. But, you know, there were skin cancers. So the doctor looked at it, and he said, well, there was one close to my eye. So he said, you know, we'll get that one taken care of first. So I go in and I have that removed. And about a week later, I'm looking at, you know, where they had operated. And, of course, it was a mess. And it was just at that moment when that report I'd heard back in the 1970s, you know, THC, the active ingredient. And I thought, well, this oil is full of THC. So I went down to the bathroom, and the other two areas they were yet to operate on, I went down and I put the hemp oil on both of them, and just put a bandage on. And I mean, I didn't really think it would do anything. You know, I left the bandages for 4 days, went down to the bathroom. I mean, I didn't feel a thing during the 4 days. No pain, no nothing. And when I took the bandages off, all that was there was pink skin. And I couldn't believe my eyes. And then I started telling people, you know, what this had done. And then, of course, everybody laughed at me. You know, yeah, right, you know, marijuana cures cancer. So, you know, I just didn't know what to make of it. But within seven weeks, the one they had removed on the side of my nose close to my eye, it came right back. And I went down and I did the same thing with that. And 4 days later, removed it. That was 8 years ago. I've never retreated them. And then I went down to my doctor's office and got the pathology report from the operation, which stated I had basal cell carcinoma. So this oil cured my cancer. And so then I just started treating other, giving it to people in the beginning for skin conditions and things like that. And it was just working miracles on everything. You know, I mean, history, actually, if you get into the history of this plant and you start to understand what the government's actually done here, or the big money that runs the government, I mean, it was known all through history as a panacea, a cure-all. And as a matter of fact, up until about 1900, half the medicine produced worldwide came from the hemp plant. Then all of a sudden, in 1923, the Canadian government take the most medicinal plant in the world out of medicine. Okay. Now, everything, every law, every act, they're all corrupt. You know, none of it makes any sense. You know, hemp doesn't harm anyone. There's no addictions. You know, even governments admit that now. But still, this madness goes on. But, you know, after I started passing it out to people, then I started contacting, you name it, I went to the Minister of Health in Canada. I went to all the political parties, David Suzuki, you know, the Nature of Things, W5, the Fifth Estate, Marketplace, the Canadian Cancer Society. I mean, we even went to the United Nations. Nobody would lift a finger. The minute they, oh, it's from cannabis? No, can't go there. You know, what kind of nonsense is this?
And it's like this ultimate taboo, right? You know, nobody's allowed to talk about it. Nobody's allowed to use it. And ironically enough, everybody talks about it and everybody uses it.
Well, this is what gets me with people. People don't want others to know that they have anything to do with marijuana. They got to hide in the closet. You know, I mean, they'll go to a party or a bar somewhere and fall flat in their face from alcohol, or they'll drive around in their cars, you know, full of, painkillers, like, you know, with codeine in them, or opiates. And then they'll look at somebody smoking a joint and say, that guy's high. You know, what are they? You know, it's just insane. But, you know, this is the way the perception that the people have. You know, the government and these big money types, they've actually got people thinking that chemicals and poison are good for you. And I mean, our mothers, our parents told us from the time we were children, stay away from poison, stay away from radiation. But yet, when you go to your doctor, what do you get? Poison and radiation. Well, these guys are just out to lunch. And the worst of it is, I mean, we're as bad as they are because we're letting them do it. I just can't believe the human race can be this naive.
Well, it's what's called perception management, you know. Rather than talking about reality, they talk about perceptions and how it kind of dominates everything else. You know, it's just total BS. And meanwhile, people are suffering hardcore. The only person who's ever really been killed by marijuana is the person who gets shot in the back running away from the police.
That's what Jack Harris said. And that's absolutely correct. You know, the bottom line is no government has the right to control this. You know, this is a God-given plant, and it's harmless. But they put control on it just for, you know, the big money concerns. The drug companies are scared to death of this stuff, and they see it coming on the horizon now, and they're really afraid now because you can't stop it. You know,
The intelligence agencies as well, they love drugs being illegal. It was a way to fund the U.S. economy.
Well, that's about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was in 2004, I went to our local newspaper. I had a full-page article done detailing everything I did, picture of me and everything. This was a year before I was ever charged. You know, does that sound like something a criminal would do? You know, I was trying to bring this out. And then a year later, we had a meeting at the McCann Legion in the spring of 2005. We brought 12 patients in, I guess, and we videotaped the meeting. And we sent copies of that video to W5, the Fifth Estate. Of course, we never heard a word back from them. But I also took a copy of this right into our local RCMP detachment. And I gave it to them, and I told them, I said, look, you know, I want local politicians charged with criminal negligence causing death. And they just took it, you know, and they didn't say a word. And I also stated, you know, I would like to have what you confiscate so I can make more medicine. So 3 months later, the same detachment comes and raids me. You know, they took 1,620 plants, and I mean, it was right on the tape. I didn't hide it. You know, I told them I'm growing it in my backyard. And everybody knew what I was doing with it. I was giving it away. Make the medicine, give it away. And it was helping everyone. But they came and raided me and charged me. You know, cultivation, possession, and what was the other? Cultivation, possession, and I just forget now, but there was another charge.
Distribution of some description.
Oh, yeah, well, trafficking. Yeah, that's definitely distribution. I had to traffic. I mean, when I admitted I gave people that oil for nothing, I was trafficking in Canada. You know, what a bunch of nonsense. But, you know, I honestly thought, you know, eventually these people would wake up. You know, I mean, how dumb can these guys be? And then in 2006, I put another 1,100 clothes in my back there. Mounties come in again. This time they didn't even have a search warrant. They didn't arrest me. They just were with the marijuana eradication program. And they went in the backyard and took the plants. You know,
this is like a battle that I see a lot of the time, Rick. It's the naive versus the dumb.
Well, the worst of it is, Vinny, I mean, I was treating cops. I treated cops and their families, for God's sakes. You know, and even the police were supporting me in a way, because, I mean, I was my own lawyer. And, I mean, they were delivering paperwork and stuff like this before the trial. Well, I went through a charter challenge, then I went through a Supreme Court case. And I can tell you right now, the Charter of Rights in Canada is a piece of toilet paper. It's worthless. It don't mean a thing. And really, the Supreme Court, I mean, these are all corporate. They're not real courts. And neither is Canada. Canada is not a real country. It's a corporation. But, I mean, I kept hoping that somebody would do the right thing. But in the end, they persecuted or, you know, prosecuted me. And, well, they did persecute me. And although, I mean, I know I won the case hands down. They wouldn't let the patients. I had 10 patients ready to testify. Some had been cured with terminal cancer. I had doctors there, 6 doctors. Nope, judge wouldn't allow it on the stand. He wouldn't allow any of the scientific evidence to be, you know, introduced. So, I mean, they were really up to hang me. But about 2 weeks before my sentencing, Christian Lorette, the young man from Amherst, he was the one that actually produced From the Cure. And he did a bang-up job because, believe me, we didn't have any money. But somehow or another, I mean, Christian put hundreds of hours of work into this, and he put the documentary together, and we got it out about 2 weeks before my sentencing. And, you know, there was this big build-up. You know, on the day of the sentencing, there was about 35, 40 people that come to the court, you know, supporters of mine. And the judge, you know, like, well, what had happened? The Crown prosecutor was seen leaving the jury room 3 minutes before they came in with my verdict. We reported that to the judge. He would do nothing about it. It was just insane. They never called the RCMP in to investigate. They never called the jury back to question them. It was just, you know, this woman is lying. And, I mean, this woman is not a liar. They threatened her with 14 years in prison if they found what she was saying to be untrue. Well, she never went to prison. So that should tell you something. But that judge, he took up for the Crown prosecutor. And, I mean, it was just kangaroo all the way. But when the sentencing come, I'm standing in the court. And the judge said, in my 34 years in the legal system, I've never seen a case like this. There was no criminal intent. And then, you know, of course, all the people in the audience, they started clapping. I've never seen anything like it. It was like a circus. And so the next thing is, well, the scientific evidence does exist to back up everything that Mr. Simpson's saying. You know, again, more applause. And then finally he said, Mr. Simpson has, you know, this large base of people that he's treated, and they're saying the same thing. So I was the Crown wanted to give me 2 years in jail, and the judge, he gave me, instead of any of that, as far as I'm concerned, the Crown should be put in jail, because all of them should have been put in jail, because they knew this was a cure for cancer, and they held it back. But the judge, he gave me a $2,000 fine and a gun restriction. And I've been raided by the RCMP several times. They've never found a gun in my house. Now, why would I have a gun restriction? But, I mean, that goes today in Canada. If you have a drug charge, automatically you get a 10-year gun restriction. Because you must be a dangerous felon. You know, it's beyond belief. And, I mean, I used to be the proverbial proud Canadian, but, my God, I mean, you know, my country just literally fell apart before my eyes. I mean,
you know,
I still love
that, isn't that
country.
Interesting? Isn't that interesting, Rick, that when you're a patriot, the thing that can destroy your faith in your country most is your country?
Oh, yes, and that's quite true. I mean, I couldn't never have conceived that Canada could do such evil things. But it's not just Canada. I mean, it's worldwide because the big money has got a grasp on everything. The media, the medical system, all of it. You know, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, those are the guys, you know, that are pulling the strings, especially the Rothschilds. They have a great deal of money.
Let's talk about vested interests here. I mean, like, who makes money off of keeping hemp oil out of the public debate? I mean, we would think that the cancer industry, which is, you know, one of the most profitable industries on earth, certainly absolutely loves the fact that hemp oil is kept off the market, don't they?
Oh, this is not about just cancer. I mean, you got people with arthritis, all kinds of. I mean, they don't call this a medicine, a cure-all for nothing. You know, we've treated like AIDS, Lou Gehrig's disease, cancers, arthritis, skin conditions. You know, even flesh-eating disease, for God's sakes. It works on everything. You know, a third-degree burns, it'll heal in no time, leaving no scars. But look what they do in these damn burn units. Look what they put these people through, especially the children. And these doctors, these highly trained medical professionals. I mean, I swear to God, these people know more about medicine before they enter medical school than when they leave. Because at least when they entered medical school, they still had a little bit of common sense. But by the time they leave, all they're doing is pushing the chemicals and poisons. Everything they give us, liver toxic, poison. You know, that's not medicine. But yet the doctors, I mean, there were three young doctors came into the hospital I worked in Nova Scotia. They came there in about 1975. I knew them all well. They were all my age. And one of those doctors died at 44 from cancer. The other one, he was my own doctor, David Rippey. He died at 55 from cancer. And I was already curing cancer when he died. And I contacted him. And I told him, I said, Dave. And, you know, I sent him down the full-page article, you know, from the local paper and everything. And I had been a patient of his for 20 years. I said, Dave, you know, get on this oil. And he said, well, I'm scheduled for some kind of experimental chemo in Toronto. And then he said, if it doesn't work, when I come back, I'll try the oil. So I told him, I said, just give me a call when you get back. I'll bring the oil right to you. He lived in Halifax then. And I said, it won't cost you a cent because I was giving it away. He went and had the chemo. I heard he got back. I never heard a word from him. Guess where he's at? He's in the ground.
Oh, no. Our very special guest is Rick Simpson, coming at us live from Bulgaria, ladies and gentlemen, the expat Canuck. We will be right back after the break. I want to jump it.
Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. Was a loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing.
Oh yes they are. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, brought to you in proud partnership with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz. We welcome back our very special guest, Rick Simpson, coming at us live as the lonely Canuck in Bulgaria. Rick, welcome back. Rick, are you there?
Thanks, Vinny. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Now, we wanted to go in. What was the question you wanted to ask, Will? Was it about the biological?
Well, firstly, I mean, I just did a quick search on Google here. And, of course, your name comes up all over the CIA's database here, mate. But
I'm not surprised.
Does hemp oil really cure cancer? And then if you go to Yahoo Answers, this is the top-rated answer. Okay? Top-rated. Best answer. Do you really think that if it were that simple, people would go through the agony of chemo? No. As of right now, there is no documented proof that hemp oil or any other alternative method actually works on cancer. And then the same sort of arguments, what I call pragmatic arguments, which is why I kind of hate pragmatic people. If it did, people would die so often from cancer, yada, 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 yada. Simpleton answers. It's like if you look at the question of fuel-saving devices out there, and there are a lot of scams. Trust me, there are a lot of scams. But then there are some things that could potentially work. And our producer in Hamilton, Roy, knows a little bit about this sort of technology. But people say if there were any such simple fuel-saving device, all the cars would have it fitted from the factory. So they just apply this pragmatic, if it were that simple, all the corporations would be doing it without any sort of thought into monopolies and how they maintain their monopolistic control for decades and decades to come. And these are the sort of people that really kind of get me going, because we're just living on such a dumbass planet, aren't we, Rick? If it were that simple, you know, No one would be going through chemo.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is, it is that simple. You know, anybody can prove it. As a matter of fact, when I do these interviews, I always tell people, I say, look, don't believe a word I'm saying. Simply go out, get 1 ounce of good hemp bud, preferably indica. That's usually what I work with, the ones that make you sleepy. And just simply make the oil. You know, on our documentary, Run From the Cure, and on our website, we tell you how to do it. And anybody can do it.
This is the thing, though. They're saying you've got a documentary full of unsubstantiated claims. They're saying you're the con artist, and you're trying to tell them to grow their own, not like the corporations who make billions upon billions upon billions of dollars and have pacts with our governments, and their suspicion goes to you rather than to the establishment. See how messed up these people are? I just want to throw them all in the pit sometimes.
Brother, I know how messed up they are. I know very well. But like I said, if you make this oil, you put it on a diabetic ulcer that won't heal, the medical system can't heal them, put it on a third-degree burn or skin cancer, and watch what happens. Prove it to yourself. I mean, all the top experts, Bob, Dr. Robert Malamud in the States, Dr. Lemire Hanouch, Dr. Mollisham, the discoverer of THC, these people are all backing what I'm saying. This is the greatest medicine on this planet. And anybody that doesn't believe this works, just go on YouTube. There's clip after clip after clip up there. Shauna Banda, she was dying from Crohn's. She got on the oil. She's now healthy. You know, you can't deny
these.
There are
a few other things on this planet, though. I mean, if you looked at B17, apricot kernel oil.
Yada, yada, yada. But this is the real thing, brother. What you're talking about does have some benefits. There's no question.
Yeah.
But there is nothing like hemp oil. But, you know, look up Dave Triplett on the internet. You know, Dave had a bad dose of nose cancer. I mean, a bad dose of it. He shows the pictures of him, bang, 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 being cured. And, vitamin cannabis. They have some great clips up there, people cured with cancer. Cancergate. There's so many of these up there now. And there's a research group in California called CEPH Group. And that's been up there now for 2 or 3 years. You know, 2 years at least. And you can go on that site, CEPHGroup.org, and punch it in, and you know what they did? They took some brain cancer, and they put it in a Petri dish. And they put the THC, the natural THC, right from the hemp plant, in with it. And you can watch time-lapse photography of it killing the cancer right in the Petri dish. But yet, they tried to tell us there's no cure for cancer. I mean, why is it that no medical doctor will take me on? Why won't they defrock me? They can't defrock me. All they're giving the public is double talk. This medicine, it is a cure-all, and when this medicine comes out in a big way, the pharmaceutical industry is gone because you don't need none of their chemical trash, and anybody with a brain in their head should know better to take it in the first place.
So we just need to take charge of our own lives here, and we all know someone with cancer, and we need to take their trust away from the mainstream. I mean, I mean, my family has gone through this whole cancer thing, but I have a good friend at the moment, and his sister's got cancer, and he's into alternative medicine. I mean, that's his job. And he can't even convince his own sister away from these scum doctors who've got her hooked on chemo and are killing her right now. And he can't even convince his own sister. And that's how sad it is.
Well, they had a convention of oncologists in McGill University in Montreal quite a few years ago. There were 72 oncologists. And they asked them, they said, if you had cancer, would you take any of the treatments that are currently available?
There was only 13 out of 72 that said that they would take the conventional treatments like radiation and chemotherapy. Now, 13 of people out of 70, these are oncologists, the cancer guys. They know this stuff doesn't work. I mean, look at the death rates. You know, I mean, the simple fact, his brother, basically, if you're diagnosed with a serious cancer right now, in 5 years, you get a 97% chance of being dead. So where's the success rate?
And if you have a secondary cancer.
When you look at these treatments like chemo and radiation, they're carcinogenic. They cause cancer. So they're using a cancer-causing treatment to treat cancer. These people that live through these treatments, and they happen to recover, they didn't recover because of chemo and radiation. They recovered in spite of it.
Yeah, it's like using explosives as a protective vest.
Yeah, you know, I got a toothache. I was thinking I'd put a stick of dynamite in my mouth. That'll work.
Oh, well, that's a whole medical system, though. It's the whole medical system's geared around shocking your body, about putting mercury in there and fluoride binders. And none of it's about actually improving your immunity, such as, you know, products like colloidal silver. I take spirulina and chlorella daily. I mean, it costs less than a couple of beers, which most people don't mind throwing down. these are ways we can boost our health over a long term.
Well, I mean, back in the 1800s, I mean, there was empiric medicine, and then in the 1800s, they started with their chemical mixes that they could patent, and that was the allopathic medicine, medicine from chemicals. Well, there was no money in the natural stuff, so Rockefeller and his rich buddies around 1906, they started forming these medical foundations, and they started teaching, you know, these medical schools. They had them taught allopathic medicine, and they ignored empiric medicine completely, because guess who owned the chemical companies? They did. You know, there's money down that road. And then they had the government outlaw, you know, against the law, you know, and then they give it this bad reputation with the reefer madness. You know, they had all the parents scared to death that, you know, their children would meet the dreaded reefer man. You know, what a bunch of nonsense. You know, smoking pot, the simple truth is actually, I mean, like, I'm about the medicine. I'm about ingesting the oil and using it topically. You can use it as a suppository or you can vaporize it. That's the way to use it medicinally. But as far as smoking pot goes, what harm does it do? The simple truth is, if everybody got tomorrow morning and lit a joint, this would be a lot better world and a lot more sensible world. There wouldn't be any, you know, it slows people down to a pace that they should be at. You know, there's not going to be any more road rage and nonsense like that. And don't ever let anybody tell you that cannabis impairs your driving skills. Because, I mean, I drove a big motorcycle, a V65 Magna Honda, 120 horsepower. And, I mean, I didn't have any hemp in me. I was a first-class idiot on that thing. I mean, I was 35 years old, and I had to cruise around 100, 120 miles an hour, you know, because this thing would just fly. But once I smoked a joint, or if I took
like 8 miles an hour.
Yeah, well, no, I just dropped it back to the speed limits, and I get a little smile on my face. I drove that bike thousands of miles, you know, under the influence of hemp. I never had a problem. One night I got on that same bike after I drank 5 beers. I didn't even make it out of my driveway. I damn near killed myself right in my own driveway. Now, that's impaired, and nothing will tell you any quicker than a motorcycle if you're in that condition. So, you know, everything they're telling us, it's a lie. You know, it does not impair your motor skills, and once you become accustomed to this medicine, people can't even, you know, they can't even tell that you're taking it. So, you know, it's all a joke, but it's a bad joke on the public, and, you know, this is the greatest genocide, mass genocide, that's ever been committed. I mean, these guys, they make Hitler look like a choir boy. It's totally unbelievable. Well,
Hitler was one of their choir boys. We all know that. I mean, this goes back to, like you said, these Rockefellers and Rothschilds and all these trash that are running the planet from the top down. And, you know, no matter where you look, it leads to them. I mean, it's just unavoidable.
Well, it's like a great big spider graph, and the big spider in the middle is always the same arachnid, big, fat, scumbag piece of insect trash that's just feeding off everybody else. Every
but
time.
No one wants to see it. No one wants to see it. It scares them. They can't handle it. No one wants to see it.
Yeah, I'm a fly that can be eaten by a spider, but I'm just going to ignore the fact that the spider's there because I'm on a good buzz.
Well, I mean, a good friend of mine, her father was in one of Hitler's death camps, and he was lucky enough to survive. And when she got to know me, you know, I told her, I said, do you know who funded Hitler? And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, the Holocaust, the Second World War. I said, where did he get the money to do it? In the 1920s, Germany was broke. So, and, you know, and he comes into power in 1933, And all of a sudden, 6 years later, they're taking on the war or the whole world. You know, where did the money come from? The minute you look back, Rothschilds, the bankers, you know, it was a Jew that had, you know, that caused the Holocaust, for God's sakes. And I told her that, and she didn't believe me. And I told her, I said, you go look it up. And then she looked it up. And sure enough, you know, it's all the truth. And so she goes to her father, and she tries to talk to him about it. And her father, I mean, who had been through this horrifying experience, the minute she said Rothschild, her father looked at her and he said, you're an anti-Semite. You know, talk about denying reality. They don't want to.
Yeah, Rothschilds are Khazars too, so they're not even ethnic Jewish, if we want to get technical. But, I mean, they've got no honor or national sort of recognition of their own people. These are just vampires. I mean, they don't care.
They stole all their money. I mean, if you read the history of the Rothschilds, I mean, the guy way back stole all the money from, you know, basically he took over the English economy, you know, during the Napoleonic Wars, Waterloo. Yep. And, and from there on in, he trains his own sons, you know, you be a banker, and he shipped them all over the world. And that's been continuing to the present day. And as I understand
Mayor Amschel had five sons, and he sent Nathaniel to London to do that little bit of crime over there in 1815, and he sent them around the world to conquest, pretty much. And then Winthorpe was a bit of a joke, and he went to the States, and, yep.
They're all criminals, but, you know, yet we sit back, and we let them run our world. You know, and then all these stupid, crooked politicians and their political parties, every one of them are bought and paid for. You know, people go out and they vote for the Democrats or the Republicans or, in Canada, the Conservatives, Liberals, NDP. There's no difference. They're all controlled, no matter who gets in there. You know, he's bought and paid for before he goes there. And then they're scared to death to admit that what I'm saying is true because it exposes them, you know, it exposes what they've been doing for the last 88 years now.
You know, so at a psychological level, that's why it's much easier for the idiot on Yahoo to say, if it were that simple, everyone would be doing it. See, that's the easy way out.
You know, who's running the show with Google anyway? You know, the exactly. Big money's got his tentacles everywhere.
But even without big money, the slaves believe this stuff. The slaves really talk like this. And I'm a slave too, but, I mean, they talk like this, the average person, because it's a psychologically
easiest way out.
Joseph Goebbels,
tell the public
to
big lie long enough, and pretty soon they'll believe it. And they do.
Yep.
You know, we deny it in our own eyes. You know what we see.
Well, I would think, Rick, that, you know, let's say media saturation, like let's say if, I don't know, over the next year or something, the next 365 days, if every single one of those days you were on a new mainstream media radio station or television station or whatever, and you were just in the public space day after day after day after day after day after day, the repetition would actually make a difference and it would stop this bloody BS from continuing. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen. Our very special guest coming in us live from Bulgaria is Rick Simpson, the Hemp Oil Master, and we will be right back after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the somewhat operatic The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. Continuing on with the lighter side of genocide, our very special guest joining us live from Bulgaria is Rick Simpson, the main player in a documentary. If you have not seen this, I would highly recommend it, and I use that term puntastically. to actually inform yourself about this, because we've been talking over the break about how the suppression of hemp products, hemp oil, in medicine, and all of this jazz. Well, basically, it's kind of everything, right? Is probably the worst genocide that has ever been committed on humanity. Currently, the cancer rate in the Western world is something like, it's between 1 in 2 and 1 in 3, and it used to be like something like 1 in 800. Or something ridiculous. Our environment is becoming so toxic now, with all these scumbag oil companies and artificial sweetener pushing scum, freeze-dried food killing filth, you know, that we live in such a toxic environment that, well, it's basically impossible to not get poisoned.
Vinny's right. I mean, your canned products, your canned food, they line it with this nice little white stuff, and that's estrogen mimicking plastic. So don't worry if you have gay tendencies soon. but no, seriously, I mean, they're attacking your chemical balance right now. They're attacking your pineal gland. They're attacking the core of your brain, what it is to be human, because they don't want you to have a spirit and resist them. People are just such monsters.
I know, ladies and gentlemen, your DNA is like an egg, and believe me when I tell you, it is being cracked and crushed and scrambled as we speak. And believe me when I tell you, you do not want to eat it for breakfast.
And it's not logical just to say, chill out, man, take it easy, it's all good. Life's a ride, just got to roll with it. That's not good enough, okay? Yeah, otherwise you become, you know, the sort of trash that they want you to become.
Well, I mean, what I'll tell you right now is, I mean, don't hold your breath for the medical system to bring this out. You know, I mean, the bottom line is, I mean, I did a speaking tour in the Czech Republic in 2009 with Dr. Lamir Hanush. Dr. Hanush, he's a wonderful speaker, and he's a very respected man. He discovered amandamide back in the 1980s, so he's one of the top researchers in this field. So him and I, we spoke at several functions together, and we spoke at the medical school in Olomouc. And he spoke, and then I spoke. And when I was done speaking, then I come down off the platform, and this young woman walked up to me, and she was a medical student, and she looked at me, and she said, well, you're calling doctors murderers. And I looked at her, I said, dear, I said, if I give somebody poison, and the effects of that poison kill them, I said, what would you call me? And she got this stupid look on her face, and I said, does it make a difference if you got a white coat? And, oh, she got mad then. And she looked at me, and she said, the medical faculty of this university wants you back here on the 26th, and they're going to set you straight. You know, and I mean, this is one of the oldest medical schools in Europe. So the people, when she said that, I just looked at her and I said, listen, little girl, I said, you get every doctor in the Czech Republic here on the 26th, and we'll see who gets set straight. And then the people that were putting on the tour, Baron Ramsey, cosmetics, they're the ones that paid, you know, for the whole tour. Well, they get all excited, you know, they come over and they say, oh, God, Rick, this is great. You know, the university's going to take you on. That'll bring the media in. Fat chance of that. The media's controlled. And I just looked at them and I started laughing. I said, you actually think these people are going to try to take me on? And they looked at me and said, well, they said they did. They were going to. I said, what are they going to take me on with? I said, I'm the only one telling the truth. And I can prove everything I'm saying. What have they got? A pack of lies. 3 days later, the medical school, they called up and canceled. Well, there's your medical system. You know, they're not going to do nothing. They're all filling their pockets. So, you know, like I said, this medicine belongs to the people. Grow your own. Produce your own medicine, and damn the governments.
Well, you know, it's just the thing, right? People look to government, or they look to institutions to solve their problems for them, when it becomes incredibly obvious, if you look with any description of reason on any of these scumbag organizations, and I say that word operatively because let's face facts, if you are a murdering sociopath and you are unwilling to challenge your own views, you are a scumbag, in my opinion. And I have no qualms about saying that, because nobody else can really deny it and back up their claims as I can. Now, I would consider that the idea of getting hemp back into production is something that is going to be initiated by individual citizens rather than any description of government or particular authority, because all those authorities and governments, they're all controlled in some way, shape or form, whether it be through propaganda or their education, which teaches them not to think but to follow frickin' blindly.
You got that one right.
Or they've got an enormous vested interest in not having it done. You know, and this is the reason why they say, oh, we're going to debate, and then they never do. Oh, we're going to look into it, and then they never do. Oh, we're going to explain it, and then they never do. Because they're just a bunch of public relations, mind-controlled, sociopathic scum. Period.
Exactly. And we like using that word because, look, we can't swear on air. And we can't pull out weapons on air either. And so that's the best we can do. But, I mean, I just want to tell people out there, the skeptics who are listening and think this is real funny and want to repost this and make a big joke out of us or something, you keep drinking the fluoride and the aspartame and the mercury and the MSG and you have everything. And then when you're dying of cancer soon, when you're dying, you and the doctors can't do anything and you've got an inoperable tumor in the back of your head somewhere, take the hemp oil, you little son of a bitch. And just remember.
Just remember what you ignored and remember that you were wrong, okay? And take a frickin' lesson from it, you dumbass. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The man cackling in the background is Rick Simpson.
Freedom Radio.
Our roaming reporter, Canuck. And we're going to be back next hour with a little bit more of the abuse of the medical establishment. We'll be right back, folks. Listen, consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation too fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses. Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. This is hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, the lighter side of genocide. Our very special guest joining us for the duration of this hour as well is Rick Simpson, the hemp oil mofo with the mostest. We're just basically having a good old time here at the New World Order's expense, because after all, there's nobody else with a bigger expense account, is there, Rick?
You got that run right. And brother, I'd like to suggest something to people out there. There's a group in California called Human Revolution. And if you go on the internet and punch in Human Revolution, it'll come up. And the lead singer, the guy that actually wrote the song, his name is Human. And he wrote a song called The Tree of Life. And this is my theme song as far as I'm concerned. That man put to music everything that me and Jack Hare have been screaming. And he did a magnificent job. You'll see one clip there. He's out in a hemp field with a guitar. And he just cuts loose with this thing. I'm telling you, listen to this song. It's the best hemp song I ever heard. And it rocks. So something like that's well worth listening to. It's a good education just listening to that damn song.
Well, and this is the idea behind music. And we had a guest on the show before, Jason Kerrison, is one of the probably one of the most popular bands in New Zealand, very, very famous. And you know, he's into all this kind of stuff as well. And he puts it into his lyrics, and it's sort of like. Like I always say, in the 60s, for example, I wasn't around then, of course, but I heard about it, that musicians and activists and people who were really trying to bring about some sort of social change really sort of joined forces, and they were an unstoppable momentum, which, of course, stopped when, of course, they accomplished nothing, and the Vietnam War kept going on anyway, and the world just kind of got worse for wear. Consistently afterwards. But the spirit of change was there, and I think we really need to bring it back, okay? Because it is sorely needed in our time. We're on the cusp of some description of enormous change. We're at a pivotal point in history because for the first time ever, we currently have the technology and in the information age to inform everybody about what is really going on everywhere, and we can overthrow the evil, filthy, dirty, lying, propagandistic, scumbag, sadistic scum that have been really running the show on this planet for quite some time. And it's not going to stop, you know. It's like as soon as a wave forms, nothing can stop until it crashes in to whatever it's heading towards. You know, you can't stop an idea whose time has come. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Our very special guest is Rick Simpson, coming at us live from Bulgaria. And we will be right back after this very short break. And divided we fall.
Yeah, yeah, and no one like me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. So what you wanna do?
Huh?
How many dudes you really know? Flow like this, like this, like this. Let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Check, check to the mic, check a 1-2 from a crew coming through. Are you hype yet? Nowadays everybody wanna talk, but we got someone to scribe. Ain't got nothing when I'm up in the live. It came from when you feeling the vibe. You know, scribe is making me hot. Level with the double bass, vibrate, shake the place when you're ready to break. Y'all hear the man move like an RS.
Welcome back, like a body kit. Lyrically, vibe, burn, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's definitely keeping it bangster. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, brought to you in proud partnership with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz. I'd like to welcome back our very special guest, Rick Simpson. Rick, welcome back, man.
Oh, great to be here, brother. But, you know, like we were talking about getting this legalized, and, you know, like you said, the only way it's ever going to happen is the public's going to have to stand up and do it themselves. But, you know, right within the hemp movement, you know, there's so many people that have a vested interest in keeping this illegal. You know, groups like Normal. You know, there's a lot of good people in Normal, but they're being misled. You know, it's just a pack of lawyers. And I you know, I've been into it with the top brass of, you know, Alan St. Pierre and the Normal Canada leader and even Keith Strout. You know, I mean, these people don't want this legalized. They're all filling their pockets. Normal, to me, Normal's a fraud. And that's exactly what I put in my book. You know, we need some reality here. And, you know, there's so many groups out there that I think they're actually just thrown in there to muddy the waters from what I've seen in the movement. And, you know, so I'm the new leader of the movement since Jack Hare died, but I didn't really want this position. It was kind of thrust upon me. See, Jack, just a couple days before Jack had took his heart attack, he was talking to Steve Hagar at High Times Magazine. And Steve called me up when Jack took the heart attack, and he said, Rick, he said, it's almost eerie. He said, when I talked to Jack the other day, he said, if anything happens to me, pass the torch to Rick Simpson. And when he told me that, you know, Jack had just had the heart attack, and actually Jack was supposed to go on tour with me in the Czech Republic 2 weeks later. But I told the, you know, Steve at the time, I said, look, nobody can replace Jack. There's only one Jack Hare, you know, there's only one emperor. But, you know, and I was so busy with the medicine anyway that I really didn't have time to even think about such things. But I told Steve, I said, look, I said, I'll kind of fill in for Jack. But, you know, let's, you know, I thought that Jack would recover. But when Jack died, what happened, right at the funeral service, which is all up on the internet, you know, Steve Hare hurried right up, and he told him right there, and he said, you know, Jack's dying wish basically was to have Rick, you know, become the leader of the movement and to follow him to make this legalized. So that's how I got here. But what I see within the movement is enough to make you sick. But I'm not doing this for the phonies in the movement. I'm staying on as leader to represent the real grassroots, the real people in the movement. You know, there are real people, and there's a lot of them. But it's like I said, so many people have vested interests. You know, we don't want it legalized. But, I mean, it has to come. And I just don't see any way it can be avoided now that the system is literally being surrounded by these people that have been cured, even with terminal cancers. You know, stage 4 cancers cured. There is no stage 5. The stage 5 is the box. So, I mean, where are they going to run? You know, the public are waking up, thank God. And it's, you know, it's so long overdue. But people have to stop being concerned. I know the world is changing, yes, and it's scary. But, you know, when you sit there and you're 40 years old or 50 years old and you're looking forward to your pension plan, you know, well, these people are scared to death, you know, well, I could lose my pension or something like that. You know, they don't give a damn that their grandchildren or their own children are going to die from diseases and conditions that they should never suffer from. You know, they've got to get their priorities straight. And, you know, it's our duty as human beings to stand up and take this world back. You know, no Rockefeller, Rothschild, Gates, any of them. They don't own this planet. This planet belongs to us all. And it's high time these people knew it. But, you know, I'm not calling for retribution. I don't want to look. There's been enough bloodshed. And the truth of it is, I mean, there are a lot of evil types on this world that actually do know what's going on and are causing it. But the vast majority of people, the doctors, the lawyers, the politicians, most of them actually believe, you know, they believe their own propaganda, you know, and they're just as misinformed as we are. But still, you know, when you're a medical doctor and you have this type of training, you know, and you don't know enough not to give people poison, and I've seen it back in Canada, I mean, literally dozens, hundreds of doctors in Canada, seeing what this medicine did for their own patients. You know, like I said, some of them terminal cancer, arthritis, you name the disease. They've seen what this medicine did right before their very eyes. Would they stand up and back it? Not on your life. I mean, this is what we're up against. And, you know, like, I mean, you can turn your back on the truth. That's up to you. I mean, just like an ostrich, bury your head in the sand. But sooner or later, you're going to get devoured. Because, you know, it's time to get your head out of the sand and look around and realize what's happening to us. And there is no future. If we don't get this medicine back out there to the people, you know, what possible future can we have?
Well, you know, and this is the interesting thing that I find out is that I come from the generation that reads between the lines so much that we miss the lines themselves. And we don't even react anymore when those lines are crossed. It's like we don't even think about the future anymore. Everything's this now society with the text messaging and the Facebooking and all that stuff, you know, which are participating in, of course. But
I don't think people read between the lines at all, Vinny. I don't think our generation even reads the lines, let alone between the lines.
Well, let's say they gloss over them and make an assumption of what's between them without reading anything. You know, that's probably closer to the truth. I think you're right, Will. And
getting drunk all day is glossing over, then I suppose so.
Well, that's glazing over. More. You know, I mean, we've got a lot of this wasted generation, and it's wasted in two ways. There's the fact that we've got so much drugs and alcohol and everything, you know, flooding through our bloodstreams that it's impossible to know which way is up half the frickin' time. And the other side of it is we're actually wasting all our potential because all of the things that we think make us even better in the society, like getting educated and going to university and all of that kind of stuff, that just teaches you to be a mindless repeating piece of filth anyway. And you wind up just perpetuating the system which screwed you up in the first place.
Well, if you're educated in lies, what good's your education?
Well, it sounds about right, doesn't it? You know, you can educate people to believe anything. Anything!
And tell me something. What the hell is smart? You know, they got these wonderful IQ tests and everything. You know, why is it somebody like me that brings this up? I mean, why aren't one of these geniuses doing it? You know,
that's what I've always wondered, man.
There was an article that... There was an article that came out in Natural News, and they asked this question as well. And what they found is that basically the rule of thumb is the more you know about a particular subject, the less intelligent you are per se, right? You could be a genius that knows everything about physics, but nothing about banking, nothing about economics, nothing about health, nothing about this, that, or the other. And so therefore, you're actually more of a dumbass than a genius because of the fact that you have such an isolated base of knowledge to pick from. Whereas if you know a little bit about a wide range of different things, you're generally a lot smarter. And this was, a revolutionary thought process for me. That if you learn whole bunches of different things, you're smarter than somebody who knows that knows everything about one subject.
Well, here's the analogy. Right. You're looking out your car windscreen. You're trying to drive down the road on a stormy night. Would you rather have 1 square inch of the windscreen that you can see perfectly through, like a pinhole camera, or would you rather have the entire windscreen visible but vaguely covered with water? You know? And that's what it's like having, I think, generalist knowledge compared to being a complete specialist, like a Nazi scientist, for instance. You know, you may have been under Wernher von Braun's projects, but Adolf Hitler still had your ass in control. So, I mean, lesser men govern stuff when they understand and are affiliated with the right people.
This is the difficulty with dealing with the government, right? And I was talking with a guy who's a 1080 researcher. Basically, it's a big poison that's been dropped around New Zealand all the time, you know. And it gets defended by people who actually believe the lies and believe the lies so much that they're willing to propagate them for free in their own spare time. And maybe this is the real difficulty here is that activism itself has become sort of, co-opted in a lot of ways where well-meaning people have been brainwashed into thinking something that's not true, and then they become such virulent promoters of BS themselves that they can't even understand what truth is anymore.
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean... You know, and I see it everywhere, like in the hemp movement itself. I mean, all they do is go around and blow smoke in people's faces. They don't show anything. You're never going to get it legalized that way. They don't use rational thinking in any way, shape, or form today. And my perception of the human race went in the trash can many years ago. The people are just not what I thought they were. And they're so, you know, just so naive.
Yeah, and I take part in cannabis protests here in New Zealand, and I agree with you, Rick. Is that you know, if you're just running around blowing smoke in people's faces and going, yeah, legalize weed, and if the understanding and the information that is really, really behind the cause isn't the main thing that is being discussed and promoted on the streets with megaphones and all of that kind of stuff, everybody then just automatically reverts back to that perception status of, oh, they're just a bunch of dumbass stoners. Let's not listen to them because they're useless. They'll never get anything accomplished. And you know what's interesting? That bold, ridiculous assumption turns out to be true.
The problem with me, I mean, I broke their mold. You know, I mean, I don't have any dreadlocks. I don't have any tattoos. I'm short-haired, clean-cut. You know, I worked 32 years for the system. You know, like, and really, I mean, it made me very angry with Canada when I seen what they were doing and then realized that they were not willing to do the right thing. You know, just let
So how do you find your friends and family? How'd your friends and family react then? If you're coming from a sort of straight, square background, you're kind of stepping out of the paradigm a bit. How did your people close to you react?
Well, it took a while, even for my family. Now, my three children, they all support what I do and they all believe in it. Now, my oldest son, it took him 2 years to absorb it. But after seeing, you know, a few hundred patients coming through the house, he started to realize this works. And he had some severe problems himself from a motorcycle accident he had when he was a teenager. And now he's, you know, physically he's very well now. And, you know, like he's seen the miracles of, you know, the oil was working.
But what I found, I was in a grocery store one day in Spring Hill about 5 years, 4 or 5 years ago. And the fellow I knew there, an older guy, you know, he walked up to me and he said, Rick, he said, you can't change the system. And I looked at him. I said, yeah, I suppose, George, you're likely right. But I said, tell me something, George. I said, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, when you have cancer, or one of yours is dying from cancer, should we change it then? And he got this stupid look on his face. He's done. You know, I just took the wind right out of him. And since that time, he's been one of my biggest supporters. But it's almost like you have to slap people in the face. You know, when you get sick, don't you want this medicine available, for God's sakes? You know, like, I tell people to grow your own. But when you're, you know, when you have terminal cancer, you don't have time to grow your own. The only thing you can do then is go to a damn drug dealer, pay an enormous amount of money for the amount of hemp you need to produce the medicine. You know, we need the medicine available, and like I said, it should be freely available. This medicine should be available on a donation basis. That way, if you don't have the money, if all you need is a medical condition, if you don't have the money, you still get the medicine. We all have the right to this. You know, for people that don't want, you know, don't want to, or can't grow it themselves, or can't provide it, you know, for themselves, well, then let somebody like me go out and grow it in a great big scale, and let me provide it. You know, I think I've proved to the world by now that I'm not a crook. I mean, there's no scams involved here. I just told the world, you know, and Christian certainly was a big help, but I just told the world the truth. Here's what you can do to heal yourself. Here's how you can save your family. And, you know, I mean, when it comes to life and death, who cares about laws? You know, the world has to change, and it's the people that got to do it. So I'm still here holding my breath, hoping it's going to happen soon. But I think it will happen this year. Because there's just no place to go now. The system is doomed. Yeah. I mean, I ran in 2 federal elections on this issue as an independent. You know, the people just sat there with their mouths open. They didn't know what to say. Nobody was disputing. You know, they couldn't dispute anything I was saying. But yet, you know, like, they wouldn't elect you. Of course, if I'd went to Ottawa, it would have been a bull, you know, like a bull in a china shop. But it seems no matter what you do to try to get their attention, they just don't want to listen. But there's a certain number, when they get sick enough, they listen then. I mean, I've had people that criticize what I was doing 5 and 6 years ago, and they called me a drug dealer and all this other nonsense. And then 3 or 4 years later, you know, guess who's got cancer? And guess who's knocking on my door? You know, this is the insanity of this. And, you know, it's okay, Rick, you know, we know it's illegal, but, you know, you should provide it to us. You know, like, my life has been like a roller coaster. You know, like day after day, you get all these contacts, you know, the medicine did this for me, the medicine did that, all of these wonderful results. The next day, there's a cop knocking on my door wanting to arrest me. You know, there's something wrong with this picture. You know, and I look at these police officers now, I mean, they're just brain-dead corporate thugs with guns and badges. You know, and the simple truth is, if people only knew, you know, we could go back, everyone should go back as a free man on the land and under the common law system. Because these courts aren't real, the legal system isn't real, these so-called police officers, they're policy enforcement officers. They're not policemen. You know, but the public, you know, they give them all this respect, and, you know, we don't want to break the law. Well, when that law is killing you, you better do something.
Well, yeah, reactionary tactics work. If you get really, really ticked off because somebody is stealing your stuff, whether it be stealing your health or stealing your house or stealing your economy, and you do something about it, if you get out on the streets protesting and you block highways, if you do this, that, and the other, it has an effect. Everybody, for some reason, thinks that sitting around doing nothing on the couch has an effect, you know? And then they criticize anybody who actually does go out there and does something.
Vinny, it's the way people react to things. I mean, just a few years ago, the Right to Life groups were shooting doctors because they were performing abortions. You know, they're willing to shoot a doctor because he performs an abortion, but that same person goes and watches his own mother being poisoned with chemo, and finally she dies, and then they thank the doctor for crying. I mean, what's wrong with this thinking? You know, I mean, these people, actually, these doctors, all of them, the lawyers, the politicians, they're treading on very thin ice. And if something isn't done very soon, I honestly think the bullets, I think they're going to start flying. And when a few of them catch one, my father always said that. I mean, my dad was a war veteran from Normandy and badly wounded.
And Dad always told me when I was a kid, he said, Rick, he said, there should be one man in every province of Canada with a high-powered rifle. And he said, every time one of those politicians get out of line, put one right between his eyes. And he said, the guy that replaces him, he's going to be a bit more careful. You know, and as awful as that sounds, I mean, it sounds horrible, but how else do you keep these people in line? And the only solution to this, honestly, we have to get rid of all these parties. We need independent people representing us. People who don't toe the party line. People who will honestly represent us, you know, in the way they should. And
that's
if they don't
right.
do a good job, toss them out in their ears. And take all yep. of these damn governments like they have in Ottawa, make them into museums, and let a think tank. You know, two of the best in medicine, two of the best in fiction.
Well, yes, and we will be right back, ladies and gentlemen, momentarily with our very special guest, Rick Simpson. Back in a moment.
About there's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's a little bit sad because it's all a bit of history repeating. And this is the thing, Rick, I mean, I wanted to talk more about the historical significance here because hemp becoming illegal, and as far as I know, the founding fathers of the United States grew copious amounts of it during World War II. The propaganda film Hemp for Victory, where they encouraged American farmers to grow hemp, even though it was illegal at the time, and these kind of things. But where did it being illegal actually start from? As far as I know, it was a whole bunch of just lying politicians, scumbags, just got up instead of Congress and started talking about marijuana, which nobody knew what it was because they all knew it as hemp, saying it was some description of evil Mexican drug cartel swinging sort of thing that would make black men sleep with white women, would make the stars fall to earth and incinerate all mankind. And it's basically
quite
mountains.
True, brother.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to know, I mean, what's your perspective on all of this? How did hemp first get made illegal?
Well, I mean, it was the first laws that I know of happened in the southern United States in the early 1900s. I can't remember, just there's two or three states that outlawed it. And it was just for the same reasons you just mentioned. You know, black women raping white women, nonsense like that. It's just all racial. But like I said, in Canada, they outlawed it in 1923. And then in 1937, the Marijuana Tax Act, that outlawed it. But then the war happened, and the hemp supply from the Philippines got cut off. So then they had to start growing it again. So it was hemp for victory all during the Second World War. But the simple truth about, you know, the founding fathers, like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, I mean, these people smoked hemp. You know, it's all right there in documentation. I mean, they did tests with George Washington's pipe. The resin was there. And it's right in his diaries that nothing he enjoyed more than going out in his veranda and smoking his pipe full of hemp. Now these are the people that wrote, you know, in documents like the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution. Now, I don't think that, you know, using hemp affected their thinking abilities any. You know, the bottom line is the public doesn't know that. But it's all true. And, you know, if they had followed these wonderful documents, the United States and you know, countries like that, they wouldn't be in the mess they're in today. But they perverted it all. And it was all done, like I said, with the big money, buying their way, buying anything they want, you know, seeking to control us for their profit. And that's what they've done. And we've all been suffering and dying for so long for no other reason than their greed. But, I mean, I would hope that the big money concerns on this planet would wake up and realize what they're truly doing. I mean, if we could work together, this could be a smooth transition into a better way of life. And that's what I'm hoping they're going to have to do in the end. But, I mean, how much longer are they going to hold out? And the problem is, every day that goes by, you know, it just gets worse and worse. The people are going to be that much more outraged. I mean, just in Canada alone, I mean, I went to the government back in 2003. That's 8 years ago. There's 70,000 Canadians dying every year from cancer. Add it up. Now, I mean, I'm not saying you could have saved every one of them, but I'm telling you, brother, you could have saved a lot of them. And not just cancer, like I said, all these other diseases. Now, how is the public going to feel when they find out what their precious government has done to them? And it's like I said, I mean, we don't need governments. We need a think tank running the country. Just, you know, two of the best in different fields. Put them in a think tank. Let them make, you know, rational decisions. Open book policy, nothing hidden from the public. You know, let them run the country. And if they need a figurehead, get someone that's beyond reproach. You know, make them prime minister or president, whatever you want to call it. You know, this is what we need. And if you did something like that, you would have government for the people. And you would have a democracy. And hemp would be growing everywhere. And that was Jack Hare's dream, and it's my dream now, and I'm going to make it so.
Well, yeah, I mean, and the interesting thing is there was some conspiracy theory about wealthy industrialists funding the illegalization of hemp measures. What do you know about that?
Well, I mean, it was mostly Harry Anslinger. He was the head of the FBN or something. But it was to do with the Federal Bureau of Narcotics or something. They put him in charge of that. Well, he was married into, it wasn't the DuPonts, the Mellons. He was married into the Mellon family, who had all the connections with the DuPonts and all the rest of it. Well, I mean, Harry went on a crusade, you know, in the 1930s to make hemp illegal, so then they got the Tax Act in place, and he's largely responsible for all that. You know, and he was screaming at the time, that people went crazy if they smoked hemp, and they would kill their own mother and their own father. It was all ridiculous. But that was the song he was singing then. Then a few years later, in the 1950s, he changed his tune. You know, and the trouble with hemp is it pacifies people, which really is the truth. But, I mean, I don't consider myself a pacifist by any means. But, what I see with the use of hemp, it makes you a more rational person. You know, I call it the redemption oil. Because it can redeem us, you know, spiritually, and it can redeem our health. It makes you a better person and a more logical person. And that's exactly what these big money types don't want. If you got thinking people out there, how are you going to control them? But, I mean, nobody should be controlling us. You know, I'm all for getting rid of borders, the whole damn thing. You know, they put these invisible lines up and they put up a bunch of gates. You know, you're leaving one country, going to another. Well, I don't see these borders. I see neighbors. You know, what they're doing, if you ask the average citizen practically in any country, do they want a border, what would they say? And if they took the borders away and let people travel freely anywhere they wanted to go on this planet, it would promote a better future. It would promote understanding. And we could all learn to get along better. You know, stop these ridiculous genocidal wars. And it would be such a, you know, this is the way a human should live. Why should we live by restrictions that were put in place that make no sense? This is the only path I see for mankind. I know they'll probably hold on to their countries for a while, but what I see right now with this medicine, I mean, in Israel, they're doing a lot of research with this. In the Czech Republic, they're talking research there. In Germany, there's several countries. Spain, there's several countries where this is happening as we speak. But the trouble right now with all of these governments that I've come in contact with, they all want to control it. You know, well, we have to do a 3-year study. And what sort of study? Nobody dies from this stuff. Start giving all these sick and dying people the medicine, for God's sakes. You know, but they're going to take 3 or 4 years to do the study, and they want the pharmaceutical industry to control this. Well, I mean, it was the pharmaceutical industry that caused this. And, I mean, if they get their dirty hands on this, then they're going to come at a great big price. Now, you know, there's so many people out there, they don't have the money to pay the prices that, you know, the pharmaceutical companies would want. So they're just going to go grow this, and they'll make their own medicine. And that's the reason I say there's no government that's ever going to control this medication's use in the future. They just can't do it. And there's no logical reason why they should even try. So, I mean, I'm asking all these people, work with us. Let's change this world in a rational way. You know, we need concise, clear-thinking people. And we need honest people, you know, determining our future.
Well, you know, and I'm sure that that's a contradiction in terms there a little bit, Rick, because honest people in charge, it's very rare. In fact, I'm scant to say that there's anybody who's honest that's in charge of anything in this day and
today.
Age.
But I mean, what I'm saying is independent representation, everything done with an open book policy, no backroom meetings, and if you get caught doing one, then you're out the door. You know, honesty.
And that should be an instant one. And it's transparency, isn't it? And this is the reason why bad legislation and bad government and bad this and bad that all happens, because none of it happens out in the public arena where everybody can see and just go, hey, hold on, you're bringing in some description of global government tyranny here. They all do it behind closed doors and keep advancing it all, little bit at a time, little bit at a time, and nobody reacts. So, you know, I agree with you there that if we have some description of transparent government where everything's done in full view of the public, that would be very, very difficult for them to actually get away with anything.
Well, we have the right to this. I mean, we're the ones that are paying their salaries. Shouldn't we have honest representation, for God's sakes?
If I was an employer and I asked my employee a direct question, I would expect a direct answer. And if my employee did not answer me, unless, of course, it was an infringement of his privacy, of course, if it was a requirement of his job to say, look, how many widgets or whatever did you make today? And he said, I can't tell you that. I'd say, okay, you're fired. You know, but we can't do that with politicians, can we? You know, if a politician says, oh, I can't tell you that, and you go, okay, I'll vote for you.
Well, it's going to change very rapidly now. I mean, I do have the book just about complete, and I hope we're going to have it published in about a month. I don't know what it's going to be, something da-da-da-da, the Rick Simpson story. But, you know, when that book comes out, all is exposed. You know, I named the people because everything about me is on the public. It's already on the public record. So what are they going to do? Sue me for telling the truth? You know, so when people start reading this book and they realize, I mean, what I went through and what I'm continuing to go through. I mean, this last year over here in Europe, this has been the hardest year of my life. You know, I mean, I've been bouncing from country to country, living out of a suitcase. You know, and I'm 61 years old. It's been a wonderful experience. I mean, I know in a way because I've got to see so many countries and I met a great number of wonderful people. But, you know, I was used to a much more settled way of life than this. And under these circumstances, I mean, I can't grow my medicine because, I can't stay in one place long enough to even get a crop off. So it's a real mess. But I'm going to continue on this path. There's nothing stopping. You know, I mean, I owe my life to this medicine. If it hadn't been for that oil, if I hadn't have found it, I'd be dead by now. And I've seen thousands and thousands of other people, just people that I treated. I've seen what it did for them. It gave them their life back. And now that medicine is giving the life back to, you know, literally hundreds of thousands or millions probably even by now across this planet. So it's coming back. And the pharmaceutical companies, they see the monster on the horizon. Because I was contacted back in the fall. I think it was October. No, September. I was still in the Ukraine. And GW Pharmaceuticals. They wanted me to collaborate with them. And, I mean, the last thing in the world I would ever do is collaborate with a pharmaceutical company. But it tells you right there that they're desperate. And the only angle I could see that they were trying to work, I think that they were trying to get me in bed with them. And, you know, I mean, if Rick Simpson would get up and say that the pharmaceutical industry should control, you know, take control of this because they have the proper facilities, well, that would make it a lot easier for them. But that's a bunch of baloney. You know, all you need, you watch Run from the Cure, all you need is a pound of good hemp, a pound or to 500 grams of good hemp, and a couple gallons of solvent. You can usually produce about 60 grams of high-grade oil, you know, out of that much material to work with. and there's your cancer cure. So, I don't think we're going to stop this. It can't be stopped. But, I'm hoping the world wakes up, and like I said, I hope we can solve this without any bullets flying or bloodshed. We have to change this world, and we have to change it now.
Yeah, and this is the thing about violent revolutions is that they, I don't know, in some cases, and they're like a total last resort, and I would believe personally, and I'm not 100% sure if I'm correct on this, that if you lead a violent revolution, you'll wind up having a violent government as a result, especially if the violent revolution is one that's started rather than something that's been billed as a reaction to violent suppression.
Well, if people would just start listening to the experts. Every time you see something about hemp, they always have some pimple-faced kid standing up there going, tee-hee-hee-hee. What does he know about hemp? He's a kid.
Well, that's a flaw of epistemology of people, how people derive truthfulness or their discernment. I mean, they just think anything that's official has to be the truth, and you can't be, you must be lying, Rick, because you're not officially recognized.
Well, every expert on this planet, they officially recognize me, and it's the experts that the people should be listening to. Instead,
yep.
They'll go to their doctor, and they'll listen to the general practitioner who knows nothing.
Don't you just love medical tyranny, ladies and gentlemen? Our very special guest is Rick Simpson. Final segment coming up next. Welcome back. Man, this has been a good show. On the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, our very special guest, Rick Simpson, joining us for final segment today. And I've got a joke for you, Rick. There's two Indian tribes, and they're camped out on either side of this big ravine, and they're sending smoke signals to each other. And the first one sends a smoke signal up saying, "Man, I don't have any weed. It really, really sucks." And the second guy sends up a smoke signal. And he goes, "What? Oh, really? What are you making your smoke signals with?"
Okay. If only that were true. brother, we have to wonder, about ourselves. Like I said, I'm 61. And, God, when I was a kid, crime hardly existed. And we were taught, to tell the truth, have integrity, have compassion, be honest. And then as we get older, we get out of high school or we get out of university, and then we just take all of that and throw it in the garbage can. And then we just become a brain-dead zombie who works for the system, who doesn't care about anything but himself. It's programmed into us. And this is what people can't grasp. Our brains are computers. You can imprint them. And baby, have they ever imprinted them. And, we've got to just, stop and get people to realize, the only way you find the truth, you seek it yourself. Go on the internet. Watch these documentaries. There's so many good ones out there now that bring you the brutal truth. But the only way we can proceed logically, we have to know that truth. And that's the only place you're going to find it now, because you'll never get it from the media, that's for sure. But, my hope's like to see a better world out of this, and I'm sure that's what will occur. But just the time it's taking is so frustrating, and just knowing at this very minute, so many people everywhere are suffering and dying for no reason. And I want to caution people, too. There's an awful lot of people out there today using my name and the term Phoenix Tears to sell their oil. Now, there are people that do supply high-grade oil. I won't deny that. But there's a great number out there that are selling garbage. And people are paying thousands of dollars to these drug dealers for these oil treatments. And they're not effective because, it's made from trash. It's low-grade. It doesn't have the potency. And I want to make it clear to people that I'm not involved with any of these people that are supplying. I have nothing to do with any of these people that are out there, the dispensaries, none of them. The only group that I support is the Phoenix Tears Foundation in Colorado with Dr. Robert Malamede and Janet Sweeney and Craig Schaff. These people are doing good work, and they're trying to do this in the proper, rational way. And I do support their efforts. But my website, it's right on the website, who I support, those are the only ones. So don't be fooled by anybody telling you that they're in touch with. I get these all the time, you know, the complaints from people. I bought this, I bought your oil from so-and-so, and, you know, it didn't work. Well, I don't know who so-and-so is, and obviously so-and-so sold them, you know, garbage, but yet they've come to me to complain. And I'm not responsible. And I know we just had an incident with our website, too. We had a fellow running the website, but basically I found out he was running a scam. He had a whole bunch of other email addresses connected to our site. And, I mean, when we I just took the site back over, and we got it under our control again. But one of these little email accounts he had, there was 4,100 unanswered emails. Now, I didn't even know that these addresses existed. You know, like, it seems no matter who you come in contact with, somebody's trying to run a scam. But I just want the public to know the best way to do this is to, you know, actually make it yourself and grow it yourself, if possible. If you have to go to a drug dealer to purchase it because you have a loved one dying from cancer, and if you don't smoke hemp, take someone with you that has smoked it. And what you're looking for, again, is the heavy indica strains and some of the indica sativa crosses, you know, that exhibit the traits of the heavy indicas. And when you smoke a heavy indica, and that's all you have to do to test it, just smoke about a half a joint. And if you feel yourself kind of melting into the chair and wanting to go and lay down, that's the medicine. But by all means, I mean, sativas make a good oil for skin treatments and skin cancers and things like that. But I don't recommend sativa strains, you know, for the medicine because it's too energizing. You know, the indicas take you down, the sativas take you up. And some of these strong sativa strains, I mean, they're so strong that you could, you're literally bouncing off the walls. You know, when you look at these kids today going to raves and taking ecstasy and all these other chemicals so they can dance all night, well, take a sativa oil. Believe me, you'll dance all night. But you won't be harmed. You know, and this is what we have to do. We have to take the harm out of medicine. And here it is. This is the greatest preventative medicine on this planet. It's good for all age groups and even for the kiddies. You know, don't give them Ritalin. Give them hemp oil. You know, this attention deficit disorder, that's a made-up disease anyway. But there was a study done back in Jamaica in the 1980s. They took women that smoked hemp, and they studied them. They were pregnant. They had, you know, the healthiest babies born on this planet are born to hemp-using mothers in Jamaica. That's a proven fact. So if it doesn't harm a baby in the womb, you know, during its developmental stages, then what possible harm could it, you know, could it be, you know, for a child? And they give us this song and dance, you know, that it causes schizophrenia. Well, I've treated quite a few people that had schizophrenia, and it does just the opposite. It cures it. Now, the schizophrenics I treated, they threw their chemicals in the trash can, they went on the oil, they went back to work, and they're productive, happy citizens again. You know, chemicals don't work for anything. Now, I want the public to get that through their head. And if there's anyone out there that would like to take me on publicly on one of these radio shows, any medical expert, I challenge all of you, come take me on. And I'm telling you right now, nobody will do it because they can't defeat me. But I can defeat them in about 30 seconds. That's the money of the land.
Well, I'd like to thank you so much for coming on the show with us, Rick. And your website there is phoenixtears.ca still, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right. We'll be putting links up to that on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and sending out the archive to you, Rick, to send around to your networks as well. Because, well, I think this has probably been one of my favorite interviews that I've ever done. And I reckon heaps of people are going to need to hear this, puppy.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so, Vinny.
Yeah. Well, taking personal responsibility leads to positive change, and apathy breeds contempt for truth. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Our very special guest was Rick Simpson from phoenixtears.ca, and we'll be back tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening.